good to have all of our guests and everybody with us this morning. And trust that the word of the Lord will bless you as you have been blessing the Lord in your worship. Because God does have something good to share with us. Hallelujah. And I hope that you will take advantage of what God says today and what God would impress upon your mind in what has already been said and done. My text today comes out of John chapter 15. Got one verse to read there and one also in Hebrews chapter 13. If you would stand with me for the reading of the word, I would appreciate it. John 15, verse number 16, says, "Ye have not chosen me, but what? I have chosen you." We think we have a lot to do in that, and we certainly have a choice to make. Don't get me wrong. But remember, when God calls you out, He's doing it because He has a purpose and a plan for you. "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it to you." God does not call that He doesn't equip. God does not call those He does not have a plan and a purpose for. And God cannot lie. Everything that God says, He intends for it to take place. And if God says it, it will happen. Amen. And we all have a part in that plan to fulfill all of His will. And we need to be open and receptive to that. Each and every one of us. Everyone has a plan and a purpose under God's handiwork. Join me in the book of Hebrews, if you would, please. Chapter 13, I want to go to verse number 5. And particularly the last part of the verse where he says, "For he has said, I will never..." Verse 5. Hebrews 13 and 5, last part says, "For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." You don't get that from anybody but God. Because if God is for you, who can be against you? Now, I don't say they won't be there, but who has all power? Who has all knowledge? Yeah, right. Who knows the end from the very beginning? Yeah, it's the Almighty God, and He has chosen you and brought you to where you are and where He wants you to go for a plan and a purpose is only His alone, because He knows exactly what needs to take place. Hallelujah. Now, given all of that, the title of my message this morning is going to be "Accept or Reject. The Choice is Yours." I like that. That's better than I came up with. Praise the Lord, everyone. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. Accept or reject, the choice is yours. Mentioned that this being the end of the year, and I don't know, I suppose most of everybody makes some kind of New Year's resolutions. I was going to ask you how many accomplished all of yours, but I figured there wouldn't be a high response. I was thinking, do I even remember what my New Year's resolutions were? Yeah, if you don't write them down and you don't look at them, you're probably never going to remember them at the end, are you? Have a lot of good intentions. One of these days I'm going to get around to it. But I'm telling you, today is a day and hour that we're living in that things need to be happening. It is a time to accept the challenges that the Lord would give to you and I and begin to move forward with them. Because we are getting close to the end of time. You look at what's going on in our world today, and there's trouble here, there, and everywhere. There's uprisings here, and you can't hardly go any place that you don't hear about some problems. You know, we even have a couple here in the United States. And as far as I can tell, we're the best country in the whole wide world. You know? And I'm thankful to be an American. Hallelujah. I'm also thankful that God has blessed this country. And I see things happening I'm sure God's not happy with. And yet I can still have liberty to come and do as I please at this point in time. So I thank God for that. But we're going to have to be able to stand for God no matter what happens and who may come against us. Amen. I've chosen as a main part of my thought process today the book of 1 Kings, 13th chapter. A situation that has developed that we see, and this is just one day in time. You think about all the days and times and all the things that can happen, and all the opportunities that can come and go in your life and my life. We're just going to look at this on behalf of about three individuals. In this particular setting, we see that Israel has been split into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom called Israel and the southern kingdom called Judah, and the northern kingdom is led by Rehoboam. Rehoboam had great opportunities. He's like so many individuals, the idea of being a leader and of taking over a position like that and all the things that he could have done as the leader of Israel. And instead of following God and trying to find what God would have him to do, he started worrying about himself. You know what happens when we start to get selfish and worried about self? You know, things start to happen in our lives and around those and those around about us, and we start to get worried. Are you after me? You want my job? Don't look at me like that. Oh, here's two over here. Look at them. Huh? They're ignoring me completely. They're not paying any attention. No, I wonder why. Wonder what they're really doing. What are you writing about there? Huh? Do you ever see anybody get in that kind of a position? Well, Rehoboam got real worried about the people because, man, you know, it's coming time to make some sacrifices in Jerusalem, and he didn't want his people going down there and associating with those other people because, you know, they might get other ideas besides just having him as their leader. So he made it real easy for him. That was his reasoning anyhow. And he made the altar at Bethel and an altar up in Dan, just so the people wouldn't have to travel so far. When it comes to the things of God, you better be following God than the easy way. Lots of things may be easier and they may seem the same, but you know, a little bit here and a little bit there and pretty soon you got a mess. Anyhow, Jeroboam, he set up this temple and or this altar there in Bethel, and that's where he went to do his worshiping. Well, here in the first verse, we see two things happening. And we're going to talk about them just a little bit. But I tell you, when I got to reading and studying this chapter, there's just a whole lot in it that you can draw some interesting observation from. It's easy sometimes just to sit down and read the scripture, and especially if you're on a Bible reading plan where you're going to get through the Bible in a year, you read scripture A, B, and C and get through chapter 1 or 2 or 5 or whatever it is, and you've read it all. Good for you. And it is a good thing, but how much did you really learn and get out of it too? Because the scripture is not there just to be read. The scripture is there for us to learn and to take advantage of and to apply. One of the kids up here said something that caught my ear. And it said, you know, as things was back in somebody else's day that they didn't understand. I don't know who said it. Don't care who said it. But it does make us aware that there's a great difference. How many of you remember a time when you didn't have a TV? Huh? Yeah. There was a time we didn't have TVs, if you didn't know. And whenever you got one, it was a little bitty thing. Black. And a little bit of white. And you might got two channels. If you live near a metropolitan area, it might have been three. Cell phones, No, you went over and you had this thing that stood on the hung on the wall, and you picked up the phone and you cranked it a certain number of times, depending upon what you wanted, and you picked up and you could talk to the whole neighborhood if you wanted. Another date and time. I can remember that. But you know, time marches on. Doesn't stand by for anything. All of our yesterdays are past. That's all locked up in a safe someplace, never to be revisited except in your mind. Never able to go back to, no matter how much you may want to. Time has continued to move on. Well, here in the scriptures here today, verse number 1 says, "And behold, there came a man of God out of Judea by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense." Verse number 2 says, "And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord, and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born into the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places, and burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burned upon thee. And he gave a sign. This is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out." Now, let's think of all the things that's happened here. Here's a man of God out and lived in Judah, and we don't know his name, know nothing about him, don't know where he had a family, where he's a well-known preacher or whatever back then, or whatever he was. It just says that a man of God came who received word from the Lord. Now, you ever think about getting up some morning and, hey, you know exactly what God wants you to do? I mean, from the time that you wake up and you take your first breath of the day and you think about God and you know God, hey, God wants you to come. He wants you to go over to this place. He wants you to speak to an altar. And then I want you to come right back. Don't stay over there. Don't do anything over there. Don't eat. Don't drink. Just go deliver the message and then come right back home and do it a different way than you went. That's all you got to do. That's all I expect out of you. And there he goes. He gets to Bethel. He gets to the altar. Can you imagine how hard it would be for you and I just to go up to some place where the president or some high-ranking official was getting ready to do something and let you walk in there and just kind of take over? I'm sure they'd appreciate that, wouldn't they? Yeah, sure they would. But you know, when God gives you something to do, God will always make a way. May not seem possible. And, you know, just reading it there, you know, I didn't think too much about it. But as I read it, and I got to thinking, you know, that would be something that would be hard to take place in the real world. In the real world, there's going to be people standing around the king. There'd be those that supported him and those who was trying to impress him and those who was trying to pat him on the back and make sure he gave them something. And you just to walk in there in the middle of all of that and his worship and the way he was going and take over, yeah, it'd be a little tough unless God gave you the message. God gave you the direction. And he went up there and he just started talking to that old altar and says, "Hey, you know, they think you're great now, but guess what? They're going to offer the priest's bones upon you one of these days. And this is going to happen, that's going to happen. And that's going to be down the road a little way, so, you know, it's not going to be these guys standing around here watching me today. But just so you know that God is real and that God is going to do this thing, this altar right now, or right here, right before you, is going to fall apart. And all those ashes that spilled out is going to spill out on the ground." I'm sure everybody by that point in time was kind of looking at this guy. You know, he's kind of a strange one. Maybe we ought to have him locked up or something. As a matter of fact, Jeroboam wasn't very happy about it. Next couple of verses, he's going to take control now. He's the king. He reaches forth his hand, says, get him. Whoa, wait a minute. What's wrong here? He couldn't pull his hand back. His hand was frozen because God was in the midst of all of that. And while this was going on, guess what happened to the altar? It fell apart. It fell over and the ashes spilled out, and everything that the man of God had said up to that point took place just like God had told him. You know, Jeroboam, he was the kind of king who only thought of himself. Out of all this taking place, what was his only thought? My hand. Oh, my poor hand. So he entreated the man of God, says, hey, could you take care of this for me? You know, God is ever merciful. You know, if I'd been God, do you think I'd have healed that hand? He'd probably had two of them bad by the time I got done with him anyhow. But you know, God in his mercy says, the man of God entreated for him, and pretty soon he's able to, oh, hey, this is all right. You know, you're a pretty good guy. Maybe I ought to take you back. Hey, tell you what, come on back to my house. We'll have something to eat and drink, and, you know, I'll give you some kind of reward. But what was the message to the man of God? Hey, you're not supposed to sit down and eat with them. You're not going to drink with them. You're not supposed to spend any time with them. You're going to get back here to your home. Well, the man of God, being the man of God, what did he do? He got up and he stood up to him. Said, hey, I don't care if you gave me half of your house, okay? I don't want any of that. I'm not going to take any of that. I'm not going to stop here because the word of the Lord told me I need to get here, deliver my message, and then turn around and get back home another way, and that's what I'm going to do. Verse number 10, if we could pull that up there. And so what did the man of God do? So he went another way and returned not by the way that he had came to Bethel. Well, you know, if that story ended right there, that would be a lot of rejoicing in my heart. You know, you get the message, you go deliver the message, you stand by the message, and you go back home. And all sounds well and good. What Jeroboam chose to do with the message, that was his choice to either accept it or to reject it. The people that were there with him and watched and observed and saw the hand of the Lord in all their actions of that day had to make a decision whether to accept the old ways that they were used to underneath this unified kingdom or to accept Jeroboam and his ways and the new way of worship. That was going to be a choice that they had to make. And we do read later on in this same chapter what Jeroboam's choices was, which you can imagine probably from his actions so far, but you don't read about the rest of them. Well, it turns out that here in Bethel there is an old prophet. And apparently he must have been active whenever it was a unified kingdom or whenever it was, I don't know, but he was still living in Bethel even after all the changes was taking place. Apparently he didn't go to the watch Jeroboam worship. He didn't go have any part with that, but he heard about what had happened from his sons who had heard it from everybody else, because you know how gossip is in a town. They heard what had happened, how the man of God had come and spoke directly to the king the way that he did, and what had happened to the king, and how the king was healed, and how the man turned around and left with nothing at all from the king. And when the old prophet heard that, apparently his ears picked up because he knew this was a real man of God. This wasn't just somebody just passing through the neighborhood with a good word, but this was the one that really had the ear of God. And he decided he needed to go find out about this young man, and so he took off after him. And he had him get a donkey ready for him, and he went and headed toward where the young man was. Hallelujah. Everybody said, praise the Lord. I hope you want to follow the Lord. I hope you want to be one of those that say yes to Jesus and not turn back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He went and he found the young man. And the young man wasn't making it much making it too far on his journey because he found him sitting underneath an oak chair. It counts as an oak tree today. So he found him sitting under an oak tree. Now, whether he was a little tired, whether he was just resting a little bit, we don't know. It doesn't say. But whenever the prophet comes, he says, "Hey, are you that prophet that came and spoke to Jeroboam and all those kind of things?" He says, "Yeah, that was me." He says, "Well, hey, come on back home with me." And he said, "Oh, no. You know, there are times when the devil entices us that we recognize that fierce-looking individual in a red suit, horns, and a pitchfork, don't we? If he comes up to you and he asks you to do something, what are you going to tell him? No. When Rehoboam is going to give him all that, what was his answer? No. That's against the word of the Lord. But this old prophet comes to him and he starts talking to him. He says, "Hey, I understand, but I want you to know an angel of the Lord." Why the old prophet did this, I do not know, because I hadn't read anything negative about him until this point in time. It's interesting what all happens, but be as it may, he lied to the man of God, and he did not detect it. And even though it wasn't what the Lord had told the man of God himself, he believed him when he said, "Hey, an angel appeared to me and said, 'Hey, you know, you need to come with me and we'll go back and we'll hash things out a little bit and you can have something to drink and eat and then you can be on your way.'" And because of the way he did it, something clicked in that man of God's heart that he said yes. And he got on the donkey and he rode back beside the man of God and went in his house and sat down, and I presume they had a nice talk together about what was going on, and a little bit something else begins to take place. Verse number 22 says, "But camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in this place which the Lord did say to thee, 'Eat no bread, drink no water. Thy carcass shall not come into the sepulcher of thy fathers.'" In other words, because you disobeyed, even though I lied to you. Okay. Here's a man that had been a prophet at one time, lied to the man of God. And I find that just incomprehensible. And yet, you don't have to listen to many things on the airwaves or read many things to know that there are a lot of people out there that are changing the Word of God. Yes, sir. Come on. Man, get a little bit here. And oh, rest assured, it was either an angel or God himself that spoke to him. You know, "Hey, you need to come over." Okay, well, you know. "Hey, I'm a little tired and a little hungry. I could use a little bit of nourishment. He is a prophet, so let me go." And he went. But what happens? What happens when you ignore the Word of God? What happens when you change the Word of God? What happens when you don't obey the Word of God? To obey is better than sacrifice any day. And we need to be sure that we're choosing the right path and the right way by listening to the voice of God himself. So the prophet tells him, "Hey, you're gonna suffer for what you have done." There's always a judgment for our actions and deeds. We may not always want to accept it. We may want to blame somebody else. But rest assured, each one of us is going to stand for what we have done. Or we're going to fall for what we've done too. Hallelujah. Anyhow, we find here in verse 23 that as it was all said and done, he got a donkey from the old prophet. He got on it and started on his way home. But as the prophet had told him, "You're not going to return home." And along the way, we find that there was a lion. I don't know about you, but I don't like lions like that. And I don't think he liked his. Because the lion did what? It slew him. He didn't eat him. Matter of fact, the lion didn't eat the donkey either. Now, what kind of lion do we have here? Is it Bill from the zoo that was over here come back to life or something? I don't know. It was a lion sent by who? Yeah. God knows how to work out all kinds of things. As a matter of fact, as he lay dead on the road, guess who stood beside him? Here was the lion, and right beside the lion was the donkey. Well, look at that. He is dead. Nothing we can do for him. People come along. Finally, they got to town, was telling everybody what was going on. And the old prophet says, whoa, time to go get the old man of God then. And he packed up his on another donkey, ran out there, took the man, brought him back, and put him in his own grave. Now, that's important because down the road, a couple hundred years, 300 years, something like that, when Josiah did come on the scene, guess what he did to that old altar there in Bethel? He did take all the priests and burn them up on that altar. He went and tore up some sepulchers that had bodies buried in it and put them on there. And he came to this one sepulcher and he says, well, what is that? Looked a little different than some of the rest. And they said, well, that's where the man of God that came and prophesied against the altar was buried. Oh, Josiah said, well, don't bother that one. Let's just get the rest of them. Let's get the job done. Fulfilled that scripture that that prophet had given. Always know that the word of God's going to come true. Whether it comes into your lifetime or my lifetime, it's still going to come true. Just like God said and just when God said. Somebody already mentioned this morning about timing. God has a time for everything. Do you believe the world as we know it's going to end? It's going to be a cataclysmic change. How many of you believe the church is going to be taken out? Yeah. Has it happened yet? No. But that doesn't mean it isn't going to happen or that it may not be imminent. It could happen before this week is over with or this day. That's why your choices are so important. In verses 33 and 34, we find what Jeroboam's response was to all of this. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think if you had had your hand physically made unable to move, I don't know whether it looked bad too. I don't know that part, but I can imagine a hand and an arm that he couldn't move and it probably was wrinkled and whatever. And then you entreat the man of God and he was able, oh wow, oh, wow, that's good. You know, I just got out of a bad situation right there. Do you think that would make a difference in your thoughts toward God? You know, I would think, wow, you know, I may be dumb, but I can figure out a few things. Plus, he talked about this altar here falling apart and the ash is coming out and everything. And you know what? It's already done that too. One day in his life, and he sees all this place. And what would you expect us to do or me to do if I saw all that? You think God would expect me to make a change? Well, duh, yes. I mean, God didn't do all that just because he didn't have anything else. He didn't do it just to show his power. But he did want to show these people that he is real. That what he says and what he intends will happen. You can't ever ignore it. Well, I better back up. You can ignore it. But that won't keep it from taking place. Because God has given us all a choice. And we can choose. And here in the 33rd and 34th verse, he says, did not return from doing evil his evil way, but made again the lowest of the people priests in the high places. So he took people and made them priests. You know, how consecrated and how dedicated would they be to God? Zero. And by the way, he made himself one of the priests. Okay, well, good. And the house of Jeroboam eventually, because of his wickedness, was completely and utterly destroyed. All right. So the man of God, he wound up, he got buried with the prophet, and his grave was not destroyed. But what a life he could have had had he not lied to the prophet. I don't blame him for going to see the prophet, wanting to talk to the prophet, whatever. But, you know, why lie? What does lie get you? Lie gets you in trouble with God and everyone else. Because I don't like the old prophet now myself. Not that he cares, but I care. Okay, it just doesn't seem right. But okay, that puts us to where you and I are today, and here we are ready to embark on a new year. Has God ever done anything miraculous to you individually? Have you ever seen God do the miraculous? I would ask for hands, but I'm going to let that go for now. Just perchance somebody is not seeing the miraculous hand of God. Because I want to tell you, you and I have a choice to make. We can either choose to go down that journey that God has appointed us, accepting that along the way there's going to be situations and circumstances come about in our lives that are going to be easy to know, because it's going to be a little fun, little frightening looking individual in a red suit. If you see them coming, enticing you to do stuff, you know, leave it alone. All right. There's going to be other times that something's going to show up. It's going to look like a good individual trying to persuade you against something that into something that goes against God's word. How are you going to know the difference? How are you going to know whether that individual is telling you the truth or not? He says, heaven and earth's going to pass away, but, oh, this isn't going to pass away, folks. It is one thing that is always going to stand. And if somebody comes to you and they got a new revelation, God gave you, or he plans to give you, or he wants to give you something that will help you. Because you're supposed to try the spirits. See if it be of God. Because there's all, well, that verse doesn't say that quite like that, does it? I think, wait a minute now. You know, God did say that a wayfaring man, though a fool, wasn't going to what? Not going to err therein. I mean, you know, if a fool could make it through all this, you know, what should you and I do? I think God intends for us to make it all the way. I really do. I think he gave us the Holy Ghost for that very purpose. And if you will allow that Spirit of God to bring life to this word, let it speak to you day by day, give you that help and direction, you'll be able to know whether that's the truth or not, or that's the lie. Whether that's going to be something from God or whether it's going to be something from some individual. Because God intends for you to know. Hallelujah. I'm going to invite you all to stand with me this morning. Hallelujah. We have gone through this chapter. One day in the life of these men, all the things that they encountered and faced. One could have had a triumphant finish to his journey, but he allowed himself to be waylaid. Don't allow yourself to be waylaid in your walk with God. God wants to speak to you every single day. Now, you may hear him in a voice. Some people do. Some people may feel him whenever they're reading his word and he speaks something to them. And you may have to be quiet once in a while and hear what he has to say too. Or listen to what God would direct you to do. But that choice is going to be yours. when those spatial times come, and there will be high points, and there will be some times when, you know, life just kind of seems to meander along like a gentle river. But every day is still going to be filled with the power and the presence of God. You have no idea when you wake up in the morning what your day will bring to you. But I want you to be ready for it. I want you to be looking forward to it. Hallelujah. For you do not know all that God has in store for you in your life. Hallelujah. This is a day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. That choice is going to be yours again. Will you accept the goodness of God? Or will you think, well, God's not helping me out the way that I want, so I'm going to go my own way? Well, that's your choice. I mean, people do that every day. Don't you be one of them. Recognize that God does have all power, and He is willing and wanting to take care of everything. And make your walk with Him a joy, a pleasing life unto the Lord, and one that will take you to heaven. The journey's not over until you reach home. Hallelujah. And that home is one that He has prepared, what we're talking about today. As we sing His chorus, this altar is open. If you'd like to come, make your calling and election sure in the Lord, great. You want to just come and talk to the Lord. Hey, that's what this is for. If you just want to come and stand before the Lord, submit yourself to Him, that's great too. Let the Lord know that you really love Him and that you do choose Him out of all else and everything else in this whole world. God bless you this morning. Let's sing.